This morning we are going to be talking about one of the themes we had all week at VBS. And so this morning, if you have a Bible, we'd love for you to grab it and to turn to Psalm 46. If you don't have one, there should be one in the chair rack near you. Grab that. If you don't have a Bible, take that with you. Otherwise, it'll be on my screens to my left and to my right. And so we're going to go to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come now. And we ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that we would be changed as we come and encounter you and hear. Father, some of us come with a lot of questions. Some of us come with many doubts. Some of us come with a lot of fear and anxiety in our lives. And Lord, in this moment, we just pray that the presence of the living Christ would begin to drive away those fears, those doubts. And Father, we pray in this moment we would find Jesus. And so, Lord, would you speak to us now? For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, have you ever felt vulnerable? Have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt fearful? And we know the story of humanity is that we've experienced one or all those things at some point in our lives. And I remember as a young child how one of the great insecurities and vulnerabilities I had growing up was of storms. Anyone afraid of storms growing up? Specifically tornadoes. Tornadoes were scary. And the reason why there was such vulnerability, such insecurity in my life was because of one main thing. I lived in a trailer. Now I'd watched enough of the local news to know that when a tornado shows up, their favorite place to go is to the trailer or to the trailer park. I mean, there's a reason why Mater says in Cars is that I'm happier than a tornado in a trailer park. There's a reason for it. And so growing up, I felt that insecurity. I felt that vulnerability, knowing that if a storm came, there was nothing to stand in between me and the storm. There was no place for a refuge. And so I can remember growing up that really my home was a house of fear. Every time the sirens went off, every time there was a warning on TV, all of a sudden this fear bellowed up in me. I longed for safety. I longed for a basement. To this day, I've vowed I will never have a house without a basement. I've got so many issues from my childhood with this. And then it's kind of funny because I vowed also that I would never move somewhere and live somewhere with the history of tornadoes. I live in Plainfield. That day when I turned on the TV and Plainfield was on the Weather Channel, I got a little concerned. I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I was like, not here, Oklahoma City. There was the two places that were on the list. It was just kind of crazy that God brought us here and kind of bring up those reminders of that fear from my childhood. You see, all of us have those moments of insecurity, of fear, of vulnerability. You see, what we long for deep down really is home. Brennan Manning talked about home in this way. He said, home is that sacred space, external or internal, where we don't have to be afraid, where we are confident of hospitality and love. In our society, we have many homeless people sleeping not only on the streets, in the shelters, or in the welfare hotels, but vagabonds who are in flight, who never come home to themselves. They seek a safe place through alcohol or drugs, or security and success, competence, friends, pleasure, notoriety, knowledge, or even a little religion. They have become strangers to themselves, people who have an address but are never at home, who never hear the voice of love or experience the freedom of God's children. Was that you this morning? If you're really honest with yourselves and you begin to look at those vulnerabilities, those insecurities, those fears, that you have an address, but you do not have a home. That your home is a house of fears. And you deep down know that in the end of the day, that the home that you've erected, the double wide of your dreams, will not stand when the wind and the storms come. The question that we were answering all week long with our kids is this: how do we stand strong? And so one of the best places I knew to go with that idea was Psalm 46. A psalm dealing with the storms of life, with the disasters and calamities of this world. It begins with those famous words that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then in verse 2, it begins to move, saying, we will not fear. We will not be vulnerable. We will not be insecure. And it begins to describe what is going on. He uses the idea of the terminology, the motif of creation. And in the Genesis account, the creation account, it has this setting apart of the land from the water, day from night. And what we find in here is he's beginning to say that the storm has come, calamity has come, the earth beneath our feet is quaking and trembling. Then in essence, creation itself is going in reverse and going into chaos. Yet we will not fear. You know, I wonder this morning how that may resonate with your life. You can hear we will not fear. And if you're honest with yourself, you say, I know I'm fearing because I know in my life it feels as if the ground is quaking beneath me. It seems like my life is diving into chaos. It seems that there's this storm that is on the horizon, and this is what I fear. For some of us, the fear is a failing marriage. Maybe being alone. The failing health of ourselves or our loved ones. A failing business, career, or economy. Maybe just failing in life. And so we're tempted to be unethical, to fit in by giving in to our peers, to pass by cheating. Or maybe that great storm of the looming sense that something is missing in your life and that you have this deep-seated feeling of guilt. You see, we wonder that, what if I never find someone? What if my career never takes off? What if I do lose my job? What if my spouse walks out of me? What do I do if I don't get accepted to my school? What if I'm unpopular? What if I get sick? What if World War III breaks out? What if there really is a Sharknado? All right. Wow, that took a while. It took a while. You're like, oh, yeah, that's it. Okay. All right. What if there's another terrorist attack? Let's talk about a fear and insecurity that all of us have. What if the economy tanks again? You see, we all face storms. And what humanity does innately is that we seek to find a shelter. But the problem is, most of us seek shelters in the wrong things, in unsecure and unsafe places, what I term the double wide of our dreams. We often self-medicate ourselves and in the very areas we are so insecure. Afraid of job issues? Well, work yourself to death and make as much money as possible. Or give up. Then you wouldn't have lost anything. Right? Some of you know have that family member. It's like, holding out for a management job. If not, I haven't lost anything. Just going to sit here. Afraid of relational calamity? Worship your relationship. Or never give yourself to any relationship at all. Don't let people to get close to you, and you don't get hurt, right? Feel guilty for all the things you've done? Get religious. Go to church. Be a good person. Be really, really religious. Then maybe, just maybe, God will love you and accept you. Or give up on Him altogether. Deny the guilt. And just live with that motto, out of sight, out of mind. You see, what we're doing in those things are seeking refuge in the houses of fear. See, these shacks may hold up to a little rain, a little wind, a little sun, a little cold. When the sirens go off and the big storms come, they cannot protect us. You think more money will make you secure? It won't. You think good health will make you secure? It won't. You think that if everything goes well in my life, then I'll be okay, then I'll be fine? It won't be. You think if I just abide by enough of the right rules, then nothing will ever go wrong in my life? That's how a lot of people came into Christianity. You get Jesus, life gets better. No troubles. If you think that, I don't think you know any Christians. Because many times it seems to get worse. You see, we need a shelter. We need a refuge. We need a basement that will keep us safe and secure through the storms of life. Buddha, first time I've ever quoted him in a sermon, once said, "The whole secret of existence is to have no fear. Never fear what will become of you. Depend on no one. Only the moment you reject all help are you freed." That is unbelievably wrong. In fact, our text says the exact opposite. It is not in the absence of the need of someone else where we find freedom from fear. It's in dependence on someone else that we find the freedom from the fears that drive us. And so what we find in the text is that he moves from the statement of who God is, of that we will not fear, that we will stand firm. And he brings us to come and to behold, come and see who this God is. He goes, "I want to show you something. Look at your home. It's a double wide. Show right there. Right there. Look closely. All the things that you are hoping and setting your heart to find security in your life that are not God are this. And when the tornado comes, what happens to that home? Obliterated." And then he contrasts that with this image. He goes, "What God is, a strong tower, a refuge, a fortress." He begins to show us what that means. He shows us that in the text that God brings joy and refreshment. He says that God will never leave us, that God will always protect us, that God brings peace. I mean, ideas like being by the beach or by the ocean, being by that calm river and just letting the sound of the water soothe your soul. That He never fails. That He overthrows enemies and calms creation with a mere word. I mean, he's saying that Jesus comes into the storms of our life and He just says the simple word, "Be still." And it stops. The chaos in your life is underneath His control. You see, a fearful people is a sightless people. For some of you, that's the problem in your life, is that all you see are the calamities. All you see is the chaos. All you see is the storm. And you miss the God who is sovereign over the storm. You miss that your little double wides will not suffice, but the fortress, which is God Himself, will stand firm through any storm that you go through. So no matter what happens in our economy, no matter what happens to your job, no matter what happens to your health, no matter what happens in your family, that He is a strong, mighty fortress. He is our refuge. You see, what we find in this text is the answer is found in this refrain that's used time and time again. And it is this: the Lord God of hosts is with us. See, what's so often so frightening in the storms is we feel so alone. There's a reason why, as kids, when you're frightened by the storm, where did you go? Where do your kids go when the storm comes? They come to your bedside. There's something about that presence that brings that security, that brings that hope. And so He brings us to show that the answer to our fears is Emmanuel. And no, I'm not talking about ROM. You're like, amen, amen. That the refrain in verse 7 and 11 is that the Lord Almighty is with us, and is this God with us that Isaiah says is Emmanuel. This is the Son that would come. That is Jesus. There's a wonder and beauty of the storm is that Jesus is with us. Jesus is the answer. He is the refuge in the midst of the storms. You see, what we are called to do is simple. In verse 10, we are told, be still and know. You see, the strength of our lives is found in the strength of His love. You base your security on any other thing, it will fail you. But His love endures forever. In fact, one of the Psalms, the people of God had this refrain that would say, this happens. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. I lose my job. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. My health fails. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. I failed my test. I'm not going to get to that college. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. He cheated on me and left me. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. You see, the strength of our lives, the ability to stand strong, is found in beholding and resting. His love is greater. His love is enough. He is enough. You see, we need no longer live in the house of fear, with vain hopes that our double-wide dreams can save us. We are invited to the house of hope, a house of love, the house of God. In John 15:4, we read, live in me, make me your home, just as I do in you. John 14:23 says, if anyone loves me, he will be careful, and he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll move right into the neighborhood. I love that translation. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to make our home with him. He is our home. One of the greatest examples of this is found in the life of a young woman from over 1,800 years ago. Many of you know that the names of my children mean a lot to me, and so I've had this name picked out for a girl that I want so bad. And there's probably a reason why I have four boys. Perpetua. Isn't that an awesome name? You're like, thank God he's got four boys. Perpetua. Perpetua. This is a woman. She is amazing, and I want to tell you about her. It was AD 202. The Roman Emperor Septimius Severus determined to eradicate the vibrant Christian community in North Africa. Perpetua, a beautiful 22-year-old mother, was among the first to be arrested. From her diary and that of another prisoner, we have some insights as to her witness in prison. Her pagan father visited her and pleaded with her to deny that she was a Christian. Perpetua responded that it was impossible that she be called anything than what I am, a Christian, someone loved and rescued by Jesus. Some days later, when her father visited again, Perpetua was nursing her young son. The father pleaded with her, "Have pity on my gray head. Have pity on me, your father. Do not abandon me to be the reproach of men. Think of your brothers. Think of your mother and your aunt. Think of your child who will not be able to live once you are gone. Give up your pride." Perpetua remained steadfast. "It will all happen in the prisoner's dock as God wills. For you may be sure that we are not left to ourselves, but are all in his power." The governor, Hellenius, questioned her and her friends. Her father again pleaded to her, and then the governor said, "Have pity on your father's gray head. Have pity on your infant son. Offer the sacrifice for the welfare of the emperor." But she would not budge. The Roman governor then condemned Perpetua and her friends to be thrown to the wild beast and to die in the arena. When Perpetua and her friends entered the stadium, they were dressed in Celtic tunics and they were singing psalms. The amphitheater was filled with nobles, ladies, senators, ambassadors, and tens of thousands shouted their insults and derisions as she was led to her death. This is kind of like the original Hunger Games. Wild beasts and gladiators circled them on the arena floor, and the crowds in the stands roared, demanding to see blood. Because of their joyful demeanor, the crowd demanded that the Christians be scourged first, and this was done. A wild heifer charged and tossed Perpetua into the air. As she fell on her back, she sat up and adjusted her ripped tunic, thinking more of her modesty than of her pain. She then walked over to help her friend Felicitas, her servant. She helped her to her feet, and Perpetua encouraged the other Christians, saying, "You must all stand fast in the faith and not be weakened by what we have gone through." Then a starved leopard, which had been goaded, was let loose, but it would not harm Perpetua. The impatient crowd began to scream for the death of the Christians. In the midst of her suffering, she exhorted her fellow martyrs to stand firm. One by one, these Christians were torn to pieces that day, and Perpetua was the last to die. She was killed by the sword, having guided the trembling hand of the young gladiator to her own throat. Perpetua was only 22 years old when she died in the arena in Carthage. Her bold testimony, "I am a Christian and cannot deny Christ," was repeated throughout the empire. Those in the amphitheater who had witnessed her martyrdom reported that Perpetua and Felicitas came into the arena joyfully, as though they were on their way to heaven. See, Perpetua could stand firm through the fiercest storms because she knew she was not homeless. She knew where her home was in Christ. He was her fortress. He was her strength. And I just wonder this morning, if she could face that storm, what storm could you face with renewed vigor if you made your home in his love? What if this day you would leave that house of fear and enter into the house of fortitude? You see, we have a refuge from the storms of our lives and the storm of his judgment. You see, all the things that so often frighten us, the storms of loss of jobs, the storms of the economy, the storms of health, and all those things pale in comparison to one storm that stands before us. You see, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were created, and they were created good and perfect. But we rebelled. We had a king, and we thought that we could do a better job than he could. And so we took the crown off his head and put it on our own, and wanted to be masters of our own domain, of our own fate. And that brought a brokenness and devastation to the world around us. And it's interesting as you study the book of Genesis in the Hebrew, when he comes in the garden, the Hebrew gives this idea of a storm coming, of a wind. Throughout the entire Old Testament, there's this idea of God coming in the clouds, in judgment. We find that for all of us, because we have sinned and turned away from God, the storm of God's just judgment stands before every one of us. There is no escape. Now, if there is the storm of God's judgment on the horizon, and all those lesser storms serve as sirens warning us of the storm that is about to come, where do you think you should go? Well, I'm a good person. I've done some good things. I'm here this morning, right? It's a double wide. I'm better than them. Right? God grades on a curve. Like my third grade teacher. I got an 86 that year. I actually got a 42. It's a double wide. My parents were really religious. It's double wide. Or you can enter into the strong fortress. His name is Jesus. You had failed, but he obeyed. And he said to us, let's trade receipts. Mine says paid in full. Yours says infinite debt. No matter how many Dave Ramsey classes, you are not getting out of that one. Someone else has to pay it. And he paid it for you. And he paid it for me. So that you and I could be forgiven. So that you and I could be accepted. So that you and I could finally make our way back home. See, home for humanity was always found in the presence of God. And that the beauty and wonder of where our homes come, where the security, where the love, where the acceptance comes, are in those simple words, God with us. That we have a home that will stand through any storm because He is our home. I know some of you are thinking that I've run far too long. Some of you say, I'm running right now. And He says, come home. Some of you are saying, I know I've been seeking shelter in all the wrong things, the things that can never last, that can never protect. And what Jesus says is, come home. Maybe you realize that your entire life you have in essence had an address, but never had a home, that you've been homeless. You've been far from Him. And in this moment, what Jesus says to you is, He says, come home. Do not settle for homes of fear. But come and to live in my house of fortitude. The storms have come and are coming. We all need to run home. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you so immensely for your grace. That though rebellious, wandering children like us, who have forsaken your love, who have run away, who've spat upon you, who've rejected you, and yet you came after us. That though we had left home far long ago, thinking that other lands would bring us security, other lands would bring us joy, other lands would bring us security and love and acceptance, and leaving behind the only place that could ever suffice, that could ever protect, and that could ever last. And Father, this morning I want to pray for men, women, and children who may for the first time realize that they are homeless. They are trusting in the wrong things and not trusting in you and you alone. And Father, I pray in this moment they would feel and hear the welcome of the Father saying, behold, I have prepared a place for you.
There's room at the table. There's room in my love. Come home. Lord, we thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.